The White Pattern. Lou. After 2 hours of trudging through the shadows of La Forêt des Yeux, pretending not to jump at small noises, a sudden realization clubbed me in the head. Gabrielle Gilly was Reed's half-sister. I studied the little girl's back through the pines. With her auburn hair and brown eyes, she clearly favored her mother. But when she glanced at me over her shoulder, for the 100th time, no less, there was something in her smile, the slight dimple in her cheek, that reminded me of Reed. "She keeps looking at you." Ansel tripped over a stray limb, nearly landing face first in the snow. Absalon leapt sleekly from his path. "Of course she does. I'm objectively beautiful, a masterpiece made flesh." Ansel snorted. "Excuse me?" Offended, I kicked snow in his direction, and he nearly tumbled again. "I don't think I heard you correctly. The proper response was, 'Goddess divine, of course thy beauty is a sacred gift from heaven, and we mortals are blessed to even gaze upon thy face.'" "Goddess divine." He laughed harder now, brushing the snow from his coat. "Right." Pushing him away with a snort of my own, I bounded atop a fallen log to walk beside him. "You can laugh, but if this plan of ours doesn't go tits up, that'll be my title someday." Pink crept into his cheeks at my vulgarity. "What do you mean?" "You know." When the log ended, I hopped down, shooing Absalon away again. "If we kill Morgane, I'll inherit the triple goddess's powers in her stead." Ansel stopped walking abruptly, like I'd clubbed him in the back of the head. "You'll become the maiden, mother, and crone? Goddess divine." I smirked, stooping to pick up a handful of snow, but he didn't share my humor any longer. A furrow appeared between his brows. "What's with the face?" I asked, packing the snow between my palms. "That's how it works. La Dame des Sorcières possesses divine power as a blessing from the triple goddess."
"Do you want to become La Dame des Sorcières?"
I hurled the snowball at a tree, watching as it exploded on the limbs. What an unexpected question. Certainly no one had ever asked it before. I don't know. I never thought I'd live past my 16th birthday, let alone plot a revolt against my mother. Inheriting her divine power seemed far-fetched, even as a child. He resumed walking, albeit slower than before. I fell into step beside him, but after several instances of him glancing at me, looking away, opening his mouth, and shutting it again, I'd had enough. I made another snowball and chucked it at his head. "Out with it." With a disgruntled look, he knocked the snow from his curls.
"Do you think you'll be able to kill your own mother?"
My stomach twisted unpleasantly. As if answering some unspoken call, Absalon dropped from a pine overhead to saunter along behind me. I didn't look at him, didn't look at anyone or anything but my own boots in the snow. My toes had gone numb. "She hasn't given me a choice." It wasn't an answer, and Ansel knew it. We lapsed into silence. The moon peeked out overhead as we continued our search, dappling the forest floor in light. The wind gradually ceased. If not for Nicolina floating along like a specter beside Ismay and Gabrielle, it would have been peaceful. As it was, however, a bone-deep chill settled within me. There had been no sign of Etienne.
"If I am to consider this alliance, you will find Etienne before the first light of day. Do we have a deal?"
As if I'd had a choice. When I'd called for a pattern to find Etienne, standing at the edge of camp with everyone's eyes on my back, the golden threads had tangled, coiling and shifting like snakes in a nest. I hadn't been able to follow them. At Lavoisin's expectant look, however, I'd lied my ass off, which was why I now wandered through a random copse of spruces, trying and failing not to watch the sky. Sunrise couldn't be too far away. I took a deep breath and examined the patterns again. They remained hopelessly knotted, spiraling out of control in every direction. There was no give, no take, just confusion. It was like my third eye, that sixth sense enabling me to see and manipulate the threads of the universe, had blurred somehow. I'd never known such a thing was possible. Lavoisin had said someone was shielding Etienne's location from us, someone powerful.
I had a sick suspicion who that might be. After another quarter hour, Ansel sighed. Should we maybe call out for him?
You should, Nicolina cackled in front of us. Call him, call him. Let the trees maul him. Boil and butter and split and saw him.
Nicolina, I said brusquely, still keeping one eye on the patterns. I think I speak for everyone here when I say to shut up. But she only drifted backward, clutching the inky hair on either side of her face.
No, no, no. We're going to be the best of friends, the three of us. The very best of friends.
When I arched an incredulous brow at Ansel, she cackled louder.
Not him, silly mouse. Not him.
A branch snapped ahead, and if possible, she laughed all the louder.
The trees in this forest have eyes, little mouse. She spies, she spies, she spies, little mouse.
Or it could be a wounded Etienne. I unsheathed my knife in a single fluid movement, unnerved despite myself, and whirled toward the noise. You should go investigate. Still leering, Nicolina vanished between one blink and the next. Ismay stared ahead, visibly torn between investigating the source of the noise and protecting her daughter. She clutched Gabrielle's hand tightly. Go! I approached them with caution, but I didn't sheathe my weapon. The hair on my neck still prickled with unease. She spies, she spies, she spies, little mouse. We'll take care of your daughter. Though Ismay pressed her lips together, she nodded once and slipped into the trees. Gabrielle waited until she'd gone before sticking her hand out to me, wriggling with excitement. Then she opened her mouth.
My name is Gabrielle Gilly, and you are even shorter than they said, practically elfin. Tell me, how do you kiss my brother? I heard he's as tall as this evergreen.
I tried to answer, or perhaps laugh, but she continued without breath.
I suppose I should call him my half-brother, though, shouldn't I? Maman doesn't like you being here. She doesn't like me knowing about him, but she's gone for the moment, and I don't really care what she thinks anyway. What's he like? Does he have red hair? Nicolina told me he has red hair, but I don't like Nicolina very much. She thinks she's so clever, but really she's just weird. And too many hearts, you know?
Hearts? Ansel shot me a bewildered look. As if realizing his poor manners, he hastened to add, I'm Ansel, by the way. Ansel Diggory.
The hearts keep her young.
Gabrielle continued like he hadn't spoken, nodding in a matter-of-fact way.
Maman says I shouldn't speak of such things, but I know what I saw, and Bellamy's chest was stitched shut on his pyre.
Wait. I felt a bit out of breath myself listening to her. Slow down. Who's Bellamy?
Bellamy was my best friend, but he died last winter. He lost his maman a few years before that. His sister was born a white witch, see? So his maman sent her to live at the chateau to have a better life. But then his maman went and died of a broken heart because Bellamy wasn't enough for her. He was enough for me, though, until he died, too. Now he's not enough at all.
I'm sorry, Ansel started. But Gabrielle shook her head, sending her auburn hair rippling around her shoulders in an agitated wave.
Strangers always say that. They always say they're sorry, like they're the ones who killed him, but they didn't kill him. The snow did, and then Nicolina ate his heart.
Finally, finally, she paused to draw breath, blinking once, twice, three times, as her eyes focused on Ansel at last.
Oh, hello, Ansel Diggory. Are you related to my brother, too?
Ansel gaped at her. A laugh built in my throat at his gobsmacked expression, at her inquisitive one, and when it finally burst free, brilliant and clear and bright as the moon, Absalon darted into the boughs for cover, birds in their nests took flight, even the trees seemed to rustle in agitation. As for me, however, I felt lighter than I had in weeks. Still chuckling, I knelt before her. Her brown eyes met mine with familiar intensity. I cannot wait for your brother to meet you, Gabrielle. She beamed.
You can call me Gabby.
When Nicolina and Ismay returned a moment later, Nicolina trilling about naughty trees, Gabby scoffed and whispered,
I told you she's weird. Too many hearts.
Ansel swallowed hard, casting a dubious look at Nicolina's back as she drifted farther and farther ahead, leaving the rest of us behind. Ismay walked much closer than before. Her rigid spine radiated disapproval.
You really think she eats hearts? He asked. Why would she do that? I asked. And how would they keep her young?
Your magic lives outside your body, right? Gabby asked. You get it from your ancestors' ashes in the land? She plowed ahead with her explanation before I could answer. Our magic is different. It lives within us, right inside our hearts. The heart is the physical and emotional center of a blood witch, after all. Everyone knows that. Ansel nodded, but he didn't seem to know at all.
Because your magic is only accessible through blood?
Gabrielle,
Ismay said sharply, lurching to a stop. She didn't turn.
Enough! Speak no more of this.
Gabby ignored her. Technically, our magic is in every part of us, our bones, our sweat, our tears, but blood is the easiest way.
Why? Ansel asked. Why blood over the others?
In a burst of clarity, I remembered the tour he'd given me of Cathédrale Saint-Cécile de Césarine. He'd known every detail of that unholy place. And what's more, he'd spent much of our time in the tower, poring over leather-bound books and illuminated manuscripts from the library. If Gabby's curious nature served, he'd found himself a like-minded friend.
I said enough, Gabrielle!
Ismay finally turned, planting her fists on her hips to block our path. She took care not to look at me.
No more! This conversation is inappropriate. If Josephine knew...
Gabby narrowed her eyes and stepped around her, pulling us along with her.
How much do you know about Dame Blanche's magic, Ansel Diggory?
Ismay closed her eyes, lips moving as if praying for patience. Ansel gave her an apologetic smile as we passed.
Not much, I'm afraid. Not yet.
I figured.
Tossing her hair over her shoulder, Gabby harumphed, but a smug smile played on her lips.
Dame Blanche and Dame Rouge magic might be different, but it's also the same because each requires balance. When we spill our blood, we weaken our bodies, which limits us. We surrender little pieces of ourselves with each enchantment, and eventually we die from it.
She said the last with relish, swinging our hands once more.
Well, if we don't die from exposure first, or starvation, or huntsman.
Ansel frowned, casting me a confused look over her head. I watched as the implication sank in. Coco. When I nodded sadly, his face crumpled.
Ismay hurried after us. Gabrielle, please, we cannot discuss such things with-
That is why blood is the most powerful way,
Gabby continued, determinedly ignoring her.
Because we must sacrifice with each cut, and that makes the enchantment stronger.
Gabrielle, blood is easily given.
The words left my mouth before I could catch them. When Gabby peered up at me, surprised, I hesitated. Though she was clearly intelligent, she was also still a child, perhaps only 7 or 8 years old. And yet, she'd also clearly known pain. I repeated the words Coco had told me years ago.
Tears, the pain that causes them, aren't.
They both gazed at me in silence.
You. Behind us, Ismay's voice faltered. You know our magic.
Not really. I stopped walking with a sigh, and Ansel and Gabrielle followed suit. They watched with transparent curiosity as I turned to face Ismay. But I've known Coco for most of my life. When I met her, she was, well, she was trying not to cry. The memory of her 6-year-old face flared in my mind's eye, the quivering chin, the determined expression, the crumpled sea lily. She'd clutched it with both hands as she'd recounted the argument with her aunt. But we were 6, and the tears fell anyway. When they touched the ground, they sort of multiplied until we were standing in a pond, ankle-deep in mud. Ansel stared at me with wide eyes. At long last, Ismay's hostility seemed to fracture. She sighed and extended a hand to Gabrielle, who took it without complaint.
Long ago, we did experiment with tear magic, but it proved too volatile. The tears often overpowered the additives and transformed them into something else entirely. A simple sleeping solution could send the drinker into a peaceful slumber or a more permanent one. We concluded it depended on the emotions of the witch when she shed the tears in question.
As fascinating as her conjecture would have been, an inexplicable tugging sensation had started in my chest, distracting me. I glanced around. Nothing seemed amiss. Though we still hadn't found Etienne, there'd been no signs of foul play. No signs of life anywhere, in fact. Except a crow alighted on a branch in front of us. It tilted its head, curious, and stared directly at me. Unease crept down my spine.
What is it? Ansel asked, following my gaze. The crow cawed in response, and the sound echoed loudly around us, reverberating through the trees, through my bones. Frowning, Ismay drew Gabrielle closer. Nicolina had disappeared. I rubbed my chest as the tugging sensation grew stronger. It seemed to be pulling me inward. I dug in my feet, bewildered, and glanced at the sky. Gray light filtered toward us from the east. My heart sank. Our time was almost up. In one last effort, I called the patterns back to sight. They remained as chaotic as ever. In a spectacular show of temper, or perhaps desperation, I waded through them, determined to find something, anything that could help locate him before the sun truly rose. Vaguely, I heard Ansel's concerned voice in the background, but I ignored it. The pressure in my chest built to a breaking point. With each pattern I touched, I gasped, startled by an innate sense of wrongness. It felt as if these weren't my patterns at all. But that was ludicrous, impossible. A speck of white glinted amidst the golden cords. As soon as I touched it, a single white cord pulsed to life, wrapping around my fingers, my wrist, my arm, and my sixth sense sharpened to crystal clarity. Finally. With a sigh of relief, I whipped my head east once more, gauging the time we had left. "What's happening?" Ansel asked, alarmed. "I found him." Without another word, I tore into the forest, following the white blaze of light, racing against the sunrise. The others crashed after me, and the crow careened from its branch with an indignant caw. Snow flew everywhere. Fiercely hopeful, invigorated, I couldn't help but smile. "Where is he?" Ismay cried, struggling to keep up. "How does it work?" Gabby soon outpaced her. Your pattern!" Ansel tripped on a root, nearly decapitating himself on a lower bough. "Why now?" I ignored them all, ignoring the burn in my lungs and running faster. We had a chance now, a real chance to procure this alliance. The white pattern continued to pulse, leading me closer and closer to victory, and I nearly crowed in triumph. La Voisin hadn't expected me to find him. I'd prove her wrong, prove them all wrong. My certainty punctured slightly as the trees thinned around us and the first tents of camp came into view. He's here? Face flushed and breath heavy, Ismay looked around wildly. Where? I don't see him. I slowed as the pattern wove through the campsite, between fire pits and caged animals, past Coco and Babette, before curving down the slope toward our tent. I stumbled those last few steps, rounding the corner and skidding to a halt. The pattern burst in a cloud of glittering white dust, and my blood ran cold. Ismay's scream confirmed what I already knew. Propped against the pole of our tent was the corpse of a young man with auburn hair.